That was done on the fly, too. So let's give them another hand here, guys. Yeah. Now, before we start, I want to establish something. 2 weeks ago, the students went on a mission trip to Eastern Tennessee to work with a program called MFuge. But last week, the whole church went on a mission trip to the city of Frederick when we did Churches Left the Building. So what we wanted to do today was just tie those two mission experiences together to make the point that God wants us to go, to reiterate the Great Commission. So I have several people, three I think, that participated in Churches Left the Building last week, and I would like to give them the chance to speak. So I'm just going to call them up one at a time and let them speak and share what last week meant to them. Before I do, Andy, I'm on the green microphone, number 8. So I'd like to call Lucky Britton up first, please.
Good morning. Can you hear me?
Can you hear me without it?
Okay. Ah, shucks. Okay. All right. Church Leaving the Building. We've been doing this for 3 years. Thanks to the Missions Committee for bringing this to us when they did. And thanks to Richard's wife, Becky. She's the one that brought this to us 3 or 4 years ago. It was an activity in her mother's church. Don't know exactly where that is, but she brought this to it as a great idea to perform a mission effort, and it's also a way to pull this church family together. Richard said we did this together, and we did it, went to different places, but the whole church was involved in an effort to reach out to the community. And I know three of us went to nursing homes or assisted living locations. Adult 2 went to Montevieu, and we went to Montevieu last year. I don't know how many of you are familiar with Montevieu. Montevieu goes back 149 years in Frederick County. And it was a very basic, down-to-earth, grassroots type of service to people in Frederick County that were down and out. When I say down and out, they were out of funds. They may have been by themselves as far as family's concerned, and they needed health care. And there was a large building that sat out there behind the present animal control facility where this was. Our church, many, many years ago, had the opportunity at Christmas and Easter to take flowers that were left over after our services for Easter and Christmas to these folks. I was part of that a year or two. And this was really, like I said, grassroots. There wasn't funds for it. The local community contributed food and things to feed these people. The local doctors pitched in and a schedule from 1 month to another to care for these people. Very basic, but as you can tell, it was definitely needed. And it really was a joy, and it is an honor now to be in a community and in a county where we offer this kind of care for folks. It now is an absolutely beautiful facility. They can house 75 people. I think I'm right, Beverly. And we've been there 2 years. These people have their arms open to welcome anyone that comes into their facility to bring them an activity and a worship service. And we have a glorious time with these folks. We really do. There were 10 of us. There were 11 of those who attended the program, and we have a member there, Jane Shoemaker. Many of you who know Jane celebrated her 100th birthday right here with us back on April the 7th. She was there and, of course, very proud to have her church come and offer this kind of an activity for their folks. They just love to see us and enjoy our program. Our theme this year was an anchor. Everyone needs an anchor in their life, needs security in their life. And that was the program we used, the 23rd Psalm, where Bible scripture give us promise after promise for how God's going to care for us and lead us through our lives. It was Pat and Dan. St. John's or here someplace, yeah. And they put together our music and led us in the singing of, I think, 7 hymns. And like Pat always does when she's here, she has a scripture for every song that she sings. And this is a real blessing because you get God's word in 2 different ways, through scripture and song. So I thank them and everybody who had a part in it. But the one thing, and as our program was about an anchor, we were fortunate enough to find online this little anchor. And it says on here, Jesus is my anchor. Could not have come out any better. God must have known we were looking for this. We gave every one of them one of these, and they were tickled to death with them. They were hanging it on their wheelchair as they went, and just excited about to get a gift. And, of course, the message on the gift we hope lasts for a long time. But you know the best gift that we gave to these folks, and the best gift that you and I, and especially as Christians, can give is our time. We gave up our time to go and be with these folks, to celebrate a time with them, tell them how much God loved them, how much we care, and we love them. And we did this as in a one day with the whole church being involved in it. So First Baptist Church was a blessing to the community last week. If you haven't been a part of this, the next time it comes around, get involved. Because when you go to the nursing home and wherever you go and see folks, just remember that it might be you one day. So it really is a joy to go. And when you leave, you're not going to forget what you saw. So great program. Thanks, everybody involved. God bless everyone. Thank you.
Thank you, Lucky. Thank you, Lucky. Man, you just made me think of something. I'm going to go ahead and turn my lapel mic off for a minute. They say there's no such thing as great new ideas, just great old ideas that we remember or rediscover. And the idea of taking the Christmas flowers and the Easter lilies to Montague is a great idea. I would like to pursue that this coming year. I know we all pay for memorial lilies and we all pay for the poinsettias, but how cool would it be if we could pay for those to be a blessing to somebody? So I'm going to help me remember that, please. Help me remember that. That's an awesome idea. So that's awesome. That's just great. I'd like to call Janet Knopfsinger up next. Here you go, Janet.
Good morning. Our Sunday school class is called Amazing Grace, and everyone in my class really has received amazing grace from the Lord. So this year we decided to go visit several of our members that were in the Glade Valley Nursing Home, and we went there, and we visited Jocelyn Wetzel, who's there. And we wanted to see John Carmack, but John had gone home because of a certain thing about Medicare. But we all decided to write cards for all of the people that we could possibly visit there, not just our members. So we wrote encouraging little cards, and it is amazing, like Lucky says, if you give them something that is from your heart, they really so cherish it. So we opened the cards and read them and told them how much we cared about them. We went both to Jocelyn's area, and we also went to the dementia area. So that was actually so enlightening, because as people realized that we were there, they started to connect and be a partner with us as we enjoyed the day together. So we had wonderful smiles and thank yous. And like Lucky said, it makes you realize what one little time given to people makes such a difference. So we were very blessed. We were blessed with their presence. And I guess in my spiritual journey, I've come to realize that God does have a plan for each one of us. And he's given us gifts and talents and a sense of love for people because of our life's experiences. And so when we use those life's experiences that God has opened our eyes to see, he lets us have his eyes to see every day. So we don't have to just leave the church one day. But I have to tell you, that opened my eyes, Becky. One day I went, you know what? We need to leave the church every day. And so from then on, from that moment when we started doing this, on the way to work, I would just say, Lord, let me have your eyes to see today. Sometimes I think we think that we have to know God's plan way into the future. But what I realize is we don't have that ability. Only God does. So what he asks us to do is just be open and caring and loving in every aspect of our life, whether it's waking up with little children running around, or a career that you have to go to, or retirement like me, and say, Lord, what do you want me to see today and to join you in your work? Because that's what gives us such a sense of purpose and a blessing in our life every day from God touching us. So thank you, Becky, and your mom. And Becky's mom occasionally comes to our class and blesses us with her presence. So, and Richard, thank you, too, for all that you both do for our church. So thank you for listening.
Thank you, Janet. I appreciate all the kind words, and that it is awesome to leave the church every day and be a blessing. And on that note, I'd finally like to ask George Littrell to come forward and share a few thoughts with us. So after this, Andy, I'm going to go back to my lapel mic, and I'll share this with the other two that come up.
We, as a Heaven's Harvest class, and with some very distinguished people who came with us. Sue Sine was a part of our program. Don and Dana Arkoff and Dana Lehman. We had the honor of going to Northampton to worship with some of their residents there. Lucky showed me this anchor one day at breakfast. And so I thought it was such a good idea that we copied it, or we ordered some and used it as well. But this came from Lucky. We gave them a program that they could follow. We opened with some hymns from Bob Pendergraph. Bob, some of them are listed as solos, but Bob always encourages them to sing with him, and they follow suit very eagerly. After a couple of hymns, Sue read some scripture verses, and then Ron Mallow gave them a brief sermon, and then we sang some more hymns, and then we departed. One of the scriptures that we sang, well, let me go back. The last hymn that we sang, we couldn't find the music without the words for it, but we thought we would try it anyway, a cappella. And it was simply, Jesus Loves Me. And they had no trouble at all chipping in on that one and singing it very enthusiastically. One of the scriptures that Sue read is from 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 2 and 3. And this is what I call a believer's ID. But anyhow, we thank God for all of you and cordially mention you in our prayers. We remember before our God and Father your work produced by faith, your labor prompted by love, your endurance inspired by hope in our Jesus, Lord Jesus Christ. This is what we were hoping to produce for them. They seemed very pleased with it. They each had an anchor, as Lucky said, to take home and a program, and it was our pleasure to worship with them.
Thank you, George. I appreciate all the work that went into last week and all the effort that went into it and all the people who went out and just shared the love of Jesus Christ last week with the city of Frederick, because it is in desperate need of that love. If you read the paper, you'll see it's needing it more and more every day. As I said earlier, 2 weeks ago, our youth went on a trip to East Tennessee, which is an equal need. And I've asked Ruthie and Becky to come forward. And Ruth, I just want you to share what you've written down and want to share. And then I've got a few questions I want to ask my wife. So you're all going to be privy to that. So if y'all would come here and just sit down real quick. So, Ruth, I'm just going to start with you, and you've written some things down that you would like to share with the church. So I'm just going to give you the microphone, and you have the awesome microphone power, okay?
So I would just like to say that MVUH was a really eye-opening experience for me. The sermons given by the speaker were incredibly powerful. It felt as though God knew exactly what I was going through, and he sent me to that camp specifically to help me. For example, one of the sermons was design, and to be honest, I have a lot of self-doubt. I used to wonder all the time why I was who I was. I would wish I could be someone else. The design sermon made me realize that even though I thought I wasn't pretty enough or smart enough or good enough, that I am me for a reason. Not only did the sermon clear so many things up for me, the track was also eye-opening. As a sign children's track, we went to a boys and girls club. Many people there had come from broken homes with alcoholic parents or so many other difficult situations. I met a little boy named John while I was on track. Now, John was really little. In fact, he can confirm she was there. When I met John, he ran right up to me and gave me a big hug. We'd never met before, so this was kind of shocking to me. He insisted on being with me all week. I could tell when I was playing with little John that he really needed a friend. I also realized that John was eerily similar to me in terms of personality and habits. John was like a miniature version of myself. I did my best to be a friend and let Jesus into his life. I think I know why I was there. Ever since I was really young, I've also felt lonely and worried about what other people thought of me. I could tell John had the same problem. I really hope that even though we weren't together very long, that I was able to help him. One more thing that I have to say about MVUH is that you can see God's work being done. I could see it in the faces of the campers at Sermon, and I could see it in the happiness of the kids we played with.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Ruth. Sorry I brain-freezed on your name there a little while ago. I just got ours going in my head. One last question. If you could just briefly describe the atmosphere at your track and where you were at, where you served. Just give a little brief description of it and how it worked.
I think I would describe the atmosphere as one of friendship and healing, because it seemed that most of the children really wanted to help each other and learn from each other. And the lady there almost seemed, the lady who ran the place, seemed to act as a mother to all these poor children who honestly might have been lacking mothers. So it was a really surprising thing to see, but it was really nice.
Thank you. You don't know, but you said exactly what I wanted you to say. So I've asked Becky up here simply because she was on this track, and I want her to share of some of her experience at this ministry site and some of her observations, and then we'll tie this all together here in a few minutes.
So what I love about Infuge is it's a combination of camp, a Christian camp, where they have a worship service every day, and a camp pastor. And they also go out and do community service and get to go help in all kinds of different situations. So some are with the elderly, some are with young, like kids. So the site we were at, which of course I loved because it was with kids, we had about 100 kids there, basically summer, their summer care. And the lady who was in charge of it, like you say, she was like a mother. And she told us that when we first got there, she spoke to us about the opioid crisis in East Tennessee and how worried she was about it and how so many of these kids had situations at home. And she was very honest with the kids about, she didn't give specific details, but in general. And she said, these kids just need your love this week and your caring and your compassion. And like you said, healing, that it can be very healing for them. And she had this place so well organized. She said, I have high expectations of my kids here. And she had them in little rotations by age groups. And it made my my teacher heart happy because they had an education room. And they were working on education things. And that just made me so happy. But she had she was really organized. And she was really caring. And then Richard talks about God sightings. And I love that word, to keep your eyes open for God sightings. And my God sighting there was all the kids being loved on. But also, I met a wonderful lady who works there. And I told her she was my superhero because she was a foster care mother. And she had adopted 3 girls through foster care. And they were teenagers, and they were there helping. And she just blessed my heart because she was such a strong Christian. And she talked to me about how God helps her get through. And, you know, she was so impacting to me. And I told her she was my superhero because she had opened her home and brought in these 3 girls that really had nobody. And the 3 girls were there helping. So it was just a really wonderful experience.
Now, you all can head back to your seats. Thank you both. Now, and I'm going to stick with the handheld, Andy. We've got about 5 or 10 minutes left, so I don't need to get all preachy on y'all. By the way, I had prepared a 1,500-word sermon for y'all today. It had 3 points and a poem, an introduction, and a conclusion, and a great invitation to send you forth. And I will be preaching that the next time I'm allowed to preach here. Because the message you just got was a lot better than anything I could deliver. But I purposefully saved Becky and Ruth for the end because I was on track at Infuge too, and I was also at a Boys and Girls Club. And it was funded by the same people. It was organized by the same organization. For all intents and purposes, they should have been identical, you know. Served at a Parks and Recreation Department with about 100 kids. And it was absolute chaos. I walked in. I can, to this day, I can't tell you who the director was. I'm certain I met him or her. I don't know who him or her was. I don't know who any of the adults there were because I rarely saw them. I was in a room, maybe a quarter the size of this sanctuary, with 100 kids, with absolutely no supervision, with a broken ping pong table lying in the middle of the floor with shattered wood gouging out of the sides, a couple of broken foosball tables. My favorite moment on a Monday is I walked up and saw some of the kids trying to play foosball with a ball of Play-Doh. I went out to Walmart and bought some foosballs that night. But it was Lord of the Flies. There was There was no point to it other than it was storing kids, putting them away, and letting them be there for 8 hours a day throughout the summer while parents could get some work done. And I asked a few of the kids, how do you like this place? We hate it. So I would stand there each day and try and organize what little things I could. My team would organize what little things they could. And I would watch as kids ran round and round and round and tackled each other and hit each other and wrestled with each other, waiting for the moment one of them would fall on that stupid pool table and cut themselves wide open, which never happened, thank God. And it was a stressful experience for me. I had Lisa Rubin with me, who's also an elementary school teacher, and it was almost too much for her. It was just a crime to these kids. And I would come back each night, and we would sit around in our little circle for the mission team, and we would share our God sightings, and I would listen to Becky and Ruth and Emma and Sarah and some of the others who were over in their program, and they would talk about how wonderful it was, and, you know, it was just life-changing and cathartic, and they were coming back blessed and warm and seeing God. And me, I felt, to be perfectly honest, like I'd gone to hell for a little bit each day. And I began to get a little jealous of them. Because I thought, you know, same program, same funding, should be the same place. So I started trying to figure out what the difference between the programs were. And I figured it out. It didn't take me long. It was the one woman Becky talked about. She was also a Christian. She is a public school teacher. She works for Head Start. She technically should have her summers off, am I correct? But it is her ministry to supervise and organize these girls and boys clubs for White Pine, Tennessee. And she gives of herself, and she comes in, and she makes sure these kids have the best program possible. And for 100 kids in White Pine, Tennessee, I hope I said that right, their summer has hope, their summer has joy, their summer has purpose. They're given an opportunity to learn more. They're given an opportunity to be in a safe environment. They're given an opportunity to grow with one another in community. In Jefferson City, Tennessee, the same program is a holding pen. Kids run amok. I didn't see any of them hurt that week, but I guarantee you throughout the summer there have probably been a couple of ambulances up there. And the kids are just counting the minutes till it's over. And the difference was one person. And that one person went. They left the building. That one person said, "My ministry is not in a building here. My ministry is out there." And Janet sort of stole my thunder a little earlier, but you know what? Every Sunday we leave the building. We may come here for a little while. We may worship for a little while. We may get a message for a little while. But ultimately, we're all heading out those doors. We're all heading down that road. We're all heading towards that city we see down at the bottom of the hill. And we're all going to be interacting with people, and we're either going to be heading out saying, "That was nice," or we're heading out with purpose and mindfulness and a desire to be a change agent in the world. We're heading out with a great commission mindset. And I'll leave you with this. God does want us to go. I did a little research for this awesome sermon that you will hear one of these days. But the Great Commission is mentioned in all four of the Gospels. The Great Commandment's only mentioned in three of them. And I started wondering, what is the difference between commission and commandment? And why do we call one a Great Commission and the other the Great Commandment? And here's what I found out. The only reason the Great Commandment's called the Great Commandment is whenever Jesus responded to that question, the question was, what is the greatest commandment? And Jesus would say, love the Lord your God and love your neighbor as yourself. The Great Commission, there was no prompting. Right before he ascended into heaven, Jesus said, go. Go, preach, teach, love, make disciples. Go. Commandment has always seemed like a stronger word to me. It's like somebody's telling you, you do this now. Commission has always seemed like it's kind of a suggestion. We'd kind of like you to go and maybe just make disciples. I'm here to say the Great Commission is a commandment. It is not some wishy-washy little commission. I don't know how it got that name, but it should be very clear. Jesus commanded us to go. It's the last thing he said to us before he rose into heaven. He said, go. And we go every week. We go into the world. But we have to go with purpose. We have to go with intentfulness. We have to try and be that one person who makes a difference. Because none of us are going to go out and change the whole world. Let's be honest. The world's too big. We're too small. We don't have that kind of access. But we can change the lives of individual people. We can change small groups of people. And there's power in that. And if you change the life of one person, you have changed the world. So I will leave you with the Great Commission. Go ye therefore unto all the world, baptizing in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, and preaching the name of Jesus and making disciples thereof. Let us go with that intent. Let us go with that purpose. Let us pray. Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you for testimonies, examples, stories, because they encourage us, they inspire us. They inspire us to go and do likewise. And Father, I ask and I pray that you will just enter the hearts of each and every person here with the power of your Holy Spirit and excite in us that desire to go, that desire to reach out, that desire to look for a way we can change something in your name, make this world a little better place in your name. So, Father, we pray for that power. We pray for that motivation. And on that note, Father, as you told us, let us go. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.